back. So today on Mumhood the podcast, we are joined with the lovely Lucia.
Hello.
Hi, Lucia.
Hello, darling.
So Lucia's here today to discuss her experience being a single mum, co-parenting, life with a teenager. Is she a teenager yet?
She is a preteen.
Preteen.
She's 12.
Yeah.
Just turned 12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, her business. And yeah, we're going to get into it. So how are you today, babe?
I'm good. My first podcast.
How are you feeling?
I feel excited, a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
Obviously, that's natural.
Oh, definitely.
But I'm happy to be here.
Yeah.
I feel like it's come at the right time for me.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
Wonderful.
I honestly think you're going to be amazing.
Thank you, Kay.
It's going to be great.
Thank you so much.
So let's start from the very beginning. So you have Lola, who you said just turned 12.
Yep.
That stage is hard work as it is.
Oh, my goodness, it's so hard.
But let's rewind.
Let's rewind.
I remember you being with Lola's dad.
Yeah.
And finding out you're pregnant. So talk us through, how long had you been together? Were you trying?
No, we wasn't trying. I think we was together not very long. I think it was about a year, maybe even just under a year. And I was actually on the pill. So fell pregnant on the pill. Found out, obviously, it was such a shock to both of us. But
and how old were you then?
I was 18.
Yeah.
So a very young mum.
Yes.
Extremely.
Yeah.
And then I gave birth when I was 19. So young.
Yeah.
But it came as a good thing in the moment. You know, we didn't really. I was very shocked looking back. I was such a baby. Mm. You know, like now I think. Wow, like, I see these young girls having babies. I'm like, you're so young. Like, you've got your whole life ahead of you. Wouldn't change it for the world. However, it's tough.
Yeah.
It's so tough.
It is. It really is.
You know.
I think, like, same as me, like, we've grown up being mums. We've grown
absolutely.
Up with them.
Yeah.
And it is true. Like, even my sister, she's 26. Sorry, Cork. I think she's 26.
Sorry, Cork.
And I look at her and I'm like, she's too young.
Yeah.
Like, how is she had a baby?
I remember looking back at my sister, because there's 5 years between me and Lil's. You know how close we are.
Yeah.
And I always used to think, God, like, you know, even when she was like 20, like I was 25, I'd be like, you're so young.
Yeah.
But that's how old I was.
Yeah, and you had a baby.
And I had a baby.
Yeah.
And even now I'm like, you know, you're still so young.
Yeah, that's your baby
that's,
sister.
That's my little sister. Like.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yes, it's been a very tough journey, to say the least.
So how was your pregnancy?
My pregnancy was okay. Mm. I actually had a really good pregnancy. Mm-hmm. I feel like I blossomed through my pregnancy, but my birth was, had a water birth.
Yeah.
So that was really lovely. No drugs apart from gas and air. Loved it. And I think I was only in labour for about 6-7 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so you had a really good experience. So,
yeah. But I remember, and this is how, going forward, if I ever have more children, which I would love to one day, but I had too many people in the birth room.
Yeah.
So I had, bless them though, they just wanted to be there to support.
Yeah.
But looking back, it was too overwhelming.
Who did you have?
I had my mum, my sister, I had Alex, Alex's mum, Alex's sister popped up, and then all of a sudden my dad popped up.
Wow.
And my dad's girlfriend popped up. So I was literally birthing.
So many, yeah.
And I had, like, you know, a million people, like, popping their head in, just sort of saying hello.
Oh, my God.
Looking back, it was just so crazy.
Yeah.
And I just feel like it was just too much.
Yeah.
But the birth was amazing.
Mm.
I remember her, like, coming out, and I was just like, oh, she literally came out like a fish. And I was like, ah, like, aww. Literally in tears.
No feeling.
And
like
it was great.
It?
Yeah, yeah. It was a lovely moment. So that was great, but then fast forward 5 days, it was like horrendous.
Yeah,
like I got diagnosed with postnatal psychosis.
Okay.
It wasn't the depression, it was the psychosis.
Yeah.
So it was a chemical imbalance basically in my brain.
Yeah.
That developed through after giving birth,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't doing the right things, like eating properly, sleeping properly, mm-hmm. you know, nurturing myself the way I should have done
mm-hmm.
as a new mum.
Mm-hmm.
My family and friends were doing their absolute best to help, but I just feel like when I was so young, I don't know, I took it all as like a bit of a whirlwind. I didn't really know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Because you're so young.
Yeah.
And like looking back, it was just, it was so hard, like, it's all a blur looking back now. But I remember I had, like, the psychiatrist and my doctor of 21 years, bless him, he was amazing. He actually came up to my mum's house to like assess me. And then the next day after that, that's when I was in, they put transferred me to Eastbourne to like a mother and baby unit, which was fantastic. It was amazing. So I stayed there.
So what sort of symptoms were you having?
So I was having, it was like delusional thoughts, deep thoughts, dark thoughts. I was so over, I was overthinking everything. Like, am I doing this right? Is she okay? Is she breathing? You know, am I feeding her right? Like, is she happy? You know, it was all like such a out of body experience that I couldn't like put together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was when Alex went back to work and I was alone with her. And I just crumbled.
Mm.
And then my mum came, you know, my sister, my friends were just trying their best to help. But it was like past that. It was, I needed help, basically. Yeah. So that was really tough.
Yeah. So how long were you in there then?
I think 4.5, 5 weeks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was quite a lengthy time I was in there.
I never knew that about you.
Did you not?
No. That's such a big thing after you've, like, given birth. Anyway, that's traumatic in itself, going through that, and then to feel like that. I never knew that.
Very traumatic, yeah. So traumatic. And I think a lot of people had their opinions and, you know, what they heard happened.
Mm.
And that's fine. Like, I didn't care what anyone thought.
No.
I didn't care, give a shit what anyone thought about me. You know, I was just trying to get better and focus on me and my baby and my family. But yeah, it was such a shock to me. Mm. And like, I remember recovering and I was so like confused about why that happened to me. Cause I'd never really been depressed. I'd never really been, you know, anxious or never felt low, never had like bad days where I, you know, and then I learned that it was all part of the being a young mum and having that happen to me. So since then, I have really struggled with my mental health, like massively, you know. So it's a big part of my heart, mental health. It's a close part of like, I literally like try and help anyone that struggles, you know. Try my best to give the best advice on how I feel and how I've managed to cope with it, because it's a fucking battle.
Yeah, no, I bet every single day. I mean, I suffer with anxiety, and I have gone obviously through phases of like, you know, feeling low. I wouldn't necessarily say depressed, but have had those low points, as everyone does, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, once that anxiety sets in, it's really hard to get those thoughts and feelings out of your head.
It's so tough to eliminate those thoughts.
Yeah.
That come in waves, because for me, it's in waves. Yeah. Like, I have amazing days, and I'm like, because I'm diagnosed with chronic anxiety, you know, OCD and ADHD. So that combined is really tough.
Mm-hmm.
So like coping mechanisms for each one, I try and like mold it and try and work on it the best I can. Yeah. And it's like, sometimes I'm like, I can't, I just can't, I can't do it today. Yeah. And that's the truth.
But that's good. You need to give yourself the grace too. If you're having
absolutely
a day like that,
Kate,
just write the day off and start again when you feel better.
And then it's hard, because then you feel like you're failing and you feel like you're not good enough, and you know, you've let yourself down.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that a lot.
Yeah.
Even though I've come so far,
you
know, with it all.
And you know, you'd never know that looking from the outside.
No,
in. Like,
you wouldn't
come across as like happy, bubbly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it just goes to show, like,
because I try my best to like make a negative a positive.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I've been through a lot of trauma in the sense of what happened with Lola. Also relationship wise, not great.
Yeah.
at choosing, you know, men, but anyway, let's not go there. We'll save that for another time.
Part two
coming up.
So going back, did you find it, after you've gone through that and you come out, did you find the bond hard to have with Lola, or was that okay in there?
It was so strange, because the midwife, this is where it got a little bit confusing. So they was going to put me into a hospital alone without Lola. And the midwife was obviously like report, done her report to the doctor and the psychiatrist. They all liaised, mm-hmm. and the midwife said, "Do not separate these two. Mm-hmm. Do not separate. If you separate, it's going to be you're going to have a very negative outcome. Yeah, you know,
it could be detrimental.
Very detrimental on the bond. And I, in my case, it was quite a rare case because I bonded straight away at birth. Usually with postnatal, in most cases, it's an instant rejection.
Mm-hmm.
But I bonded straight away and it was like, oh my God, like I was crying with happiness. I was like, wow, like, you know, had all these emotions as a new mum, and which was normal. And then all of a sudden it was a gradual self-doubt, I think, and a worry and an overthink all combined.
Yeah.
So she said, do not separate. And then so they made the decision to put me in the mother and baby unit.
Yeah.
Which was the best thing, you know. And my family were great. Alex was great.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a rocky road with me and him. It has.
Yeah.
But we're friends now.
Yeah, and let's talk through that. So how long after Lola was born did you guys go your separate ways?
I mean, Lola was like 4 or 5, so I think it was, it's all been such a blur. Like, we was together for about 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, Alex is a very hands-on dad. He has been, always has been with Lola. And they've got an amazing bond.
Yeah.
And I am lucky to have that. You know, I'd rather that than not have anyone.
Yeah.
However, it's been tough on both parts, on my part and on his part. But Lola adores us the same. So we've come like united now, which is all what I've always wanted.
Yeah.
I've always wanted that. I've never wanted us to be enemies. I didn't ever want Lola to feel torn.
Yeah.
And I think she has, admittedly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to be honest.
I think that's the case with many people that are trying to co-parent. It's so difficult. And I think especially in the beginning when there's still so many strong feelings and opinions there, to separate how you're feeling and just put your child first. And admittedly, I've been guilty on both parts with Ez and with Jude, where I think I haven't acted in their best interests. I've let my feelings come above that.
Absolutely.
And it's so easily done, I think.
When you're going through those emotions, because you're a human.
100%. And you've had 5 years together, so to separate, that is hard.
Exactly. And it did come as a shock, you know, and it is hard going for a breakup when you've got children, of course, because you want to keep your family together. Mm. Of course you do. Yeah. But ultimately, you have to just do what's best in the end. And you get to a point where, you know, you have no choice but to just go your separate ways. And then you're left with the co-parenting. So then you feel like, you know, we share Lola. It's 50-50.
Yeah.
Which is nice because, I mean, it has been tough. We've, you know, had our set days, but haven't been stuck to, and it's messed up basically. Yeah. So now it's kind of like where she's 12, she's just kind of where she's happy, she stays, and then she'll come back and back and forth. You know, she's got Alex's mum, Julie, and my mum, who she's close to, both. And it's just nice. She just stays where she feels comfortable at the time.
Yeah.
And that's nice. Like, we've learned with Lola to not force anything. Yeah. You know? And I know it is great to have a routine for children, of course. But if that works for us,
then whatever works best for you three is what matters, really.
Exactly.
And, I think you can sit there and there's so many parents that stay together because they want to give their children, you know, the best childhood. But they are, I say it time and time again, they do a disservice to the children because they grow up in a negative environment, which then breeds on to more bad mental health as they get older.
Exactly.
And what you've actually done is probably for the best.
Yeah.
And so that she, you know, she's got two homes
of
that she's happy in.
Of course. You have to do the right thing in the end, you know. You can't hold on to things that just aren't working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like a chocolate teapot. Nothing. You can't get anything from it. You know, it's not going to work, and it's hard but a lot of people go through it these days, don't they?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, you know, a lot of my friends are separated with their, you know, their families separated, and it's hard, but because you don't expect it when you have a baby. You don't think, oh, we're going to break up and, you know.
And I always felt like this sense of like I'd let my kids down. And
I feel you. I so feel you. Yeah.
And, you know, it's like now, Jude just, that's all he knows, is that we split up when he was nearly one. So that's all he remembers, is it's always
been. So you wasn't together very long then?
No, not at all. So for him, that's all he knows. But then I'm worried, like, when he goes to school and sees, like, parents together. Like,
because he's
like,
so young.
Yeah, it's mad as well, because sometimes he wants to look through my photos, and then he's like, why is daddy at our house? And it's like photos of like him when we were
together.
Yeah, and it's like, why is daddy holding me on your sofa? And he finds it really confusing, and I'm like, oh, that's...
And then because he's so young,
yeah,
you then don't sort of know what to sort of say.
No, I don't know what to say. Like, both of my kids haven't had to deal with, like, how Lola has,
yeah,
and how I have, and I suppose you as well, where your parents break up and then you go through the breakup with them. Like, they've both been too young to realise.
Yeah, exactly.
So I haven't had to deal with that. How was Lola with that?
It was really tough.
Mm.
It was... Yeah, it was really, really hard. And I think, like, looking back, like, I would have done things differently. You know, I have not made the best choices when it's come to, like, co-parenting and how I've reacted on my emotions. And, you know, it was a bit torn and a bit back and forth. But she's so strong and so resilient.
Yeah.
And I admire Lola for that.
Yeah.
You know, and I always think to myself, is she going to resent me when she's older from what happened to me? But in actual fact, I feel like now she's a preteen, I can actually talk to her about the struggles and the condition that I had when I gave birth and how, you know, and how that was just so tragic that happened. I know you get baby blues and postnatal depression, which is also horrific for all mums that go through it. But one of the symptoms that I had was I didn't recognise my sister. So I completely just, like, lost my head. I didn't even know my surroundings. I was so unaware of, like, my environment. And it was like I was going to my aunties, to my nans, to my mum's, to my dad's. Because I thought that everywhere I would go, I'd feel better. Yeah. And all my feelings would go, but it didn't.
Yeah.
It was just... You know, I was just going where I felt safe, and it was all just such a nightmare.
Yeah.
It was. Yeah. It was like looking back, it was like something out of a film, but that was my reality and that was my life.
Yeah.
And, like, it's just, I feel like now, you know, she's obviously going to know, like, what happened.
Yeah.
She knows parts of what happened.
Do you feel like that had a breakdown in your relationship or no?
In a way, yeah. Because it must have been difficult, of course, like, for Alex to see that and to go through it, you know. And then I'm quite, I wouldn't say a hard person to love, because I've got a lot of love in me, but I feel like I'm, you know, quite affected by what happened to me, and that may be why I am the way I am sometimes. I overthink, I overanalyze everything, like, in my own little way.
You literally sound like me. Honestly, I've said it so many times on here. I can sit there and, you know, like, I'm not needy, but if I've sent her a text and she's not replied, I'm like, she hates me. So I'm like, oh, what have I done? And then I literally run through the last 2 weeks. Did I say something? And then...
It's not, darling. It's it's us.
It, like, is how... literally, it's anxious attachment style.
Yes.
I have it.
Yeah.
With relationships, with friends. As I've just said to you before we started recording, this relationship I'm in now is the first one that I don't feel like that in.
And that's wonderful.
That is such a good place to be.
Do you know what, Kay? That is, it's like a secure feeling.
Yeah.
And... one thing I can say now is that the person that I will end up with will make me feel so wholesome and so mentally at peace, because my peace has been so disrupted by men that haven't got my best interests at heart and that take advantage of my kindness. And I feel like I've had trauma, you know, from relationships. So I've grasped onto those happy thoughts and feelings and, you know, oh, they love me, they care about me, and it's all amazing. And, you know, dodging the red flags, when really what you're doing is you're setting yourself up for a disaster.
Yeah, definitely.
And that is, I'm having therapy at the moment, and it's like, it's something that I'm learning about myself.
Yeah.
Accepting.
Yeah, it's the best thing that you can do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Like, I had to do so much rebuilding after my breakup with Jack.
Isn't it tough, Kay?
And it wasn't actually even the breakup. It was everything that came along with it.
Yeah.
And I think do you know, I look back now, I'm not saying that I'm like the, I'm this like relationship guru now, no, that I'm happy,
of course.
But yeah. I look back and I actually, once speaking to somebody, I was like, the therapist, I was like, do you know what? I pick the same type of person and expect different results. And it's like, why am I doing that?
You're because not going to get anywhere.
No, yeah. You're literally just going to get
however,
the same result.
What it is, it's interesting because we recognise that.
Yeah.
And we know that.
Yeah.
But it's like, when are you going to make that change?
Yeah.
Because yeah. you know the signs, yeah. you know the red flags, you know all the recipes for disaster,
yeah.
but you still
yeah.
kind of, you know, put yourself in situations. Each time, though, I do feel like it makes you stronger.
Yeah, definitely.
And you do find out a lot about yourself. And it's yeah. a learning curve. Like, my relationships, you know, it shaped me to who I am
yeah,
now.
Definitely. And I do think every experience you have, you get better and better. And then whatever
you're
going to give. Yeah, and whatever yeah. you're going to give to somebody at the end is like yeah. the best version of you.
Absolutely.
You know, there's certain yeah. things that I definitely won't put up with now.
Absolutely.
That I would have let slide before,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And but I think when you get to that point, people think, oh, I'm not going to treat
yeah.
you that shit.
When you have the guard
I mean?
Up
yeah.
and you've got boundaries,
yeah,
you know,
you need to
and
set
they
them
are
early
important.
On. Yeah.
You know, and as you evolve as a woman and you mature, you really realise what you want
yeah.
and what you will not put up with.
Yeah, definitely.
And the more stronger you come across as a woman, the more you'll be treated right.
Yeah,
because it's your strength that you know.
Mm. From talking in therapy, they basically said that I put myself like lower, on like a lower level, and I think of them as higher. And I go after their love and affection. And the more that they, like, the more that they back away,
yeah.
the more they disrespect me, the higher I go.
Yeah.
And it just goes higher. They
yeah.
just keep taking advantage and
yeah.
taking advantage. And it just keeps
exactly.
on going. Vicious cycle.
That's exactly what it's like. It's like your cup is, like, filling up with dopamine.
Yeah.
All the time. This is how I've kind of learnt to explain it. It's like when you're with them, it's like you're on a high and it's a thrill.
Yeah.
And it's higher and higher and higher and higher.
Yeah.
It's overflowing.
Yeah.
And then it's empty.
Yeah.
There's nothing left
no.
in it. So you're left with emptiness.
Like, and that crippling anxiety, that horrible gut-wrenching
you can't
feeling.
That wrenching feeling.
Yeah.
You can't explain it.
No.
And it's so horrible.
Yeah.
But those are the feelings and they're the pains that make us strong.
Definitely.
You know? And
definitely.
it's just so hard to, like, you know, I don't know what my life is going to, it holds for me.
Yeah.
But all I know is that the person that I am going to put me into will be the right one.
Yeah.
And
definitely.
That's for sure.
Do you know what? I took like 2 years off from after I
set up. I was going to say to you, actually, is that how long you had?
Yeah, I had
because
2 years.
I've only ever had probably 8 months a year by myself. And
yeah.
admittedly, I'm going to be honest, I didn't really like my own company.
No, that's exactly how I was.
Yeah.
If I wasn't with a partner, I'd want to be with my friends.
Yeah.
As I said, I've got anxious attachment. I never wanted to be left alone. And whereas, like, even through COVID, she was going, like, week on, week off with her dad.
Yeah.
So it was just me and her. And I was like, oh, my God, I hate being by
yeah.
myself. But actually, do you know what? I threw myself into, like, podcasts,
business,
therapy,
work,
business,
healing,
running. Like,
oh, love that you
yeah.
run. Give me five.
I love
yes.
it. I love it.
Love it.
Yeah. So, like, all of those things.
Run as high.
Yes. It's the best feeling.
Best feeling.
Literally.
Yeah.
So all of those things then led me to being in a good place
yeah.
that I didn't need anyone. And I
yeah.
think that's when I finally found somebody.
And you take that leap.
Yeah.
And you, yeah.
That's
exactly.
Honestly, so you all get to that point in
yeah.
the end.
In the end.
But okay, question for you. Because you're the same as me, we've
yeah.
both been in toxic relationships.
Yeah.
When you go into a normal,
oh,
say, do you not like that? Because you're used to the toxicity.
Yes.
Because I thought I was going to feel like that. I don't.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I did feel.
It almost feels.
Boring. I've had that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're not used to normality.
Yeah.
Okay. So what you do is when somebody comes along that's normal, that has a normal job, a normal life, and they treat you normal and nice.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, wait, what?
Yeah.
So you don't know how to be.
Yeah.
Because I've always kind of had that,
yeah.
you know. And admittedly, it's quite a shame
yeah.
that we actually have those experiences. Because, you know, I look at my friends and some of my best friends engaged, married.
Yeah.
Their lives, I think, are amazing.
Yeah.
Because they've gone for that normal option of, you know,
yeah,
with no toxicness
yeah.
and it's just love and great and amazing, but
do you know what? It's probably not like that, behind closed doors. It's just how you perceive it.
And they do say that to me. So yeah,
it's easy to run away in your emotions and your feelings because you look at other people. I've done it for years. I look at people and I think, well, where's my happy ever after? You know,
like, I'm 31.
Yeah,
and I'm like, Jesus Christ, like 31. By now, I thought I'd be settled. You know, happy.
But look at you, you've got an amazing daughter, you've got an amazing career, you've got a great circle of friends around
you. Oh, do you know what? My friends are literally like, love you girls, you all know. They are just my rock. Like, yeah. I can't even name them all because, you know, but Jath and Shah are my absolute go-tos and all Becky, Hannah, Lily, all of them are just amazing. Like Jess, all of you, love you all so much. The past 4 weeks have been so tough.
Mm.
Obviously, I've been going through something, like, you know, and they've all just been amazing.
Mm.
And I can't explain. I would not know what to do without my friends.
Yeah.
Friendship is so important.
It is so important.
And you get lost in it. When you're going through a bad time and you feel low, you almost... what's the word where you just like, isolate yourself?
Yeah.
You isolate yourself and you're not... Because I feel I don't want to be a burden. Mm. I don't want to say, I'm crying. I don't want to sound like I want to make them feel low. I want them to have a good day. I want them to have a positive day.
I used to have this if they've got little families.
Yeah.
Like if I didn't have Ez and it was like a Sunday, I don't want to ring them up and ruin their family day.
No, exactly.
Or ask them, can I come over?
So you just sit in your little...
Yes, you just stay indoors crying.
Yeah. Oh, no.
What are we like?
It's so hard, babe. Yeah. It's so hard. But, you know, family, friends is key. Like, I'm so close with my mum.
Yeah.
Like, literally, my mum is just, she's been through hell and back. But me and my sister are amazing. So yeah. I literally love her so much. So she's done a great job considering what she's been through. And I want Lola to look up to me and think, oh,
I'm sure 100% she will. I get like this with Ez and like...
But yours and Ez's relationship is so lovely.
But you say that because that's what you see.
Yeah.
And like I love her to bits, but I cannot tell you how hard the last 3 years has been.
Okay, honestly.
We have had roller coaster of emotions. Mm. How is your relationship with Lola at this age?
It's tough.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's very, very tough. Up and down.
Yeah.
It's up and down.
I think it's teenage girls.
We always end up regrouping.
Yeah.
Because you do. Your mum and daughter, that comes natural, you know. But in some scenarios, it has been. And do you know what I found is the transition from year 6 to year 7 is...
so hard.
Is absolutely... It's bizarre.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think they are equipped physically, mentally, emotionally. They're gone from... being in year 6, you know, to having all these teachers in cotton wool looking after them to this high school where they're literally like lost and they don't know where they're going.
Yeah.
And Lola's been finding it really tough.
Yeah.
High school. I've been at the school twice a week, 3 times a week, the past 6 weeks, like meetings, because it's tough and it's trying to find a way to make her feel comfortable in school.
Yeah.
You know? And they're so little.
I know.
They're like little victims.
Yeah.
Because when we was younger, I was like making potions.
Yeah.
At the age of 12.
Yeah.
And like riding my rollerblades.
Yeah.
And riding my bike and making a little car boot sale.
Yeah, definitely. Literally
same. Like on my street.
Yeah.
But now these children are...
It's the phones, I think.
Oh, darling. And all the psychological, the technology. It is... They're subjected to so much.
Yeah.
And sometimes I sit there and I think... What on earth are you watching?
Yeah.
Feel like it's an addiction.
Yeah.
It is such an addiction to these kids and what they are subjected to, the TikTok, the Snapchat, you know, all of it, the online stuff, it's like she can't sometimes put her phone down.
Mm.
Bless her, but I'm the same.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And because of my business, it's all online, like, you know, Instagram, content, you literally know you're the same.
Yeah.
You're always either responding to clients or you're making content or you're replying to your friends.
Yeah.
So your phone is like there all the time. And then I feel bad because I'm like, get off your phone, you know, we're at dinner and it's like,
Yeah, no, it's exactly the same with Ez, and I only let her have it on the condition that it was logged in on my phone as well.
Yeah, so you can see what the Apple ID stuff.
Yeah.
Back in our days,
playing out on the street and selling flowers. Knocking on the door, do you want to buy these weeds?
Yeah, making perfumes. Do you know what I used to do? Mm. Me and Jazz, what we'd done, we'd got an Argus book once, and we'd write down everything we wanted in our home. And we'd add it all up, like the sofa, the bed, the TV. And it would take us hours because we would just sit there and we'd circle things like from the Argus book. And I got so much enjoyment just from doing that. Imagine saying to the girls, like, doing that now. Yeah, they'd run.
Yeah.
They'd literally look at us like, are you all right, mum?
No, I'm looking at someone's house on TikTok that I want.
That's what they're doing. Yeah.
No, it is scary, the day and age that they're being brought up into, isn't it?
God, it is. And I worry for, like, my grandchildren.
Oh, I know.
You know.
So, I know you've touched on it briefly then about having more children. Is that on the cards for you if you meet the right person?
Oh, or
are you
not? Absolutely. Yeah,
you definitely want them.
Well, do you know what, Kay? Sometimes I go, nope, done.
Yeah.
Right? It depends what mood you catch me in. Yeah, but I have to say, I would love more.
Yeah.
And my sister will be next.
Yeah.
You know, she's actually, hopefully soon, fingers crossed. But, I would love another baby one day.
Yeah.
With the right person. If I felt secure and looked after and taken care of, and I felt as though, you know, I wouldn't worry about things, you know, not having that worry of, like, abandonment and being a single mum and
doing it,
but even though I suppose in your situation you felt like that, right? Probably when you had Jude,
I went into having Jude knowing that I wanted more children, and I'd been told by the hospital that I'd been booked in to have a hysterectomy because of my endo had got so bad. So in my head, I didn't care whether I was going to do it alone or not.
Fair enough.
That isn't the right mentality.
No, but it's just, that's your honest feelings.
I didn't care. Like, I was like, whatever. Like,
of course.
If this happens, not that I planned to get pregnant, I really didn't, but when I found out, it wasn't like the end of the world, and I wasn't in a secure relationship. We made the best out of a bad situation.
Yeah, you have to in those, you know, you have to kind of like, whatever situation you get, you have to make the best of it.
Mm.
And that's just what I'm trying to do in life now.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it can be a terrible situation and you think, God, how am I going to deal with this? And, you know, but you do.
Yeah.
You just do.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes when bad things happen or when tough times occur, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Right, okay. So what are we going to do about it then?
Yeah.
You know, even though I have to take a moment and think, right, even if it's silly things like parking tickets or like, you know, bills or letters that you know, admin that you've got to catch up with, or, you know, friends that you've forgot to reply to. But I mean, a whole build up of things in your mind and you just think, oh, well,
yeah,
I'm just like, okay, it is what it is. And you just deal with it. And then slowly just naturally.
It sorts itself out.
Yeah.
Right. Let's talk on a more positive note. I know you've been in the aesthetics industry for a while, but you've just branded to Lippy.
Lippy Aesthetics, baby.
Talk to us about that. So I know that you used to do dental nursing.
Yes, so I still do my dental nursing. Yeah. I started that, God, years ago, probably 8 years ago now.
Wow.
And I worked, so I began as a dental nurse.
Yeah.
And I worked in a sedation centre, like a hospital. Dental hospital, which was amazing. That's where I gained all my experience as a dental nurse. Worked in like implantology, cosmetic surgery and stuff like that. And then I just thought, do you know what? I want to do aesthetics.
Yeah.
I was so passionate about it.
Yeah.
And I remember writing it. I've probably still got it in my phone now in my notes. And I had the business plan in my notes. And I was like, right, okay. So this is what I'm going to do. And then my sister did training in dental nursing. She got her qualification. I was already qualified, obviously, and then we went and did our course together in aesthetics. And I remember we'd like meet up, like have meetings together with our little books, and like there's loads of pictures on my Instagram of like, you know, quotes and what we like, you know, back in the day, like 3-4 years ago. But yeah, now it's like,
I feel like you've really manifested now the life
babes,
that you want.
I've really manifested it.
Yeah.
And do you know what? Like, we had Lily Lou Aesthetics together.
Yeah.
Didn't work.
Why did it not work?
Because, right, me and Lily, we are so close. Yeah. Oh, my God. We're like magnets. Like, we're so drawn together. We always have been as children, like, as babies. It's always been us two. Like, honestly, she's, like, my life and soul. God. And it just didn't work. Like, even down to, like, little things like posting and wording of captions and... Kate, it was just a bit of a shambles, you know, and I had really bad mental health at the time, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. I couldn't show up.
Yeah.
Couldn't show up.
Yeah. So you both just went your separate ways.
Yeah, we both went our separate ways. I still wanted to do it, but I took 4 or 6 months, I think, out just to really work on Lippy.
Yeah.
Had it in my head that I was going to call it Lippy, just because I love lips. Lips is my niche. It's my thing. Is that the right word, niche?
Yeah.
Well done. And so, just like really built up on that, manifested that massively, and did a few masterclasses, and now I'm really enjoying where it's at.
Yeah.
I'm
seeing you everywhere on social media, like all my friends.
Are you?
Yeah. Everyone.
I love, because I've seen Steph and Hannah.
Yeah.
I love it. And do you know what? For me, it's like when I do the girls' treatment, it's all about how we're chatting through the appointments and like how, like, it's just lovely. And then how I feel after, I'm like, do you know what? That is what it's all about. Yeah. Like, I love making them feel confident, better about themselves. Mm. But also, I always get such positive feedback because I try my best to make them feel good and happy and, you know, have a good service, but still remain professional, of course. But it's just brilliant. I love it. And at the moment, it got a bit overwhelming because of, like, you know, where I've got ADHD, I get a bit, sometimes I get paralysis. So I sometimes stop like exactly what I'm doing. And I would get distracted on things. Yeah. Like, even Kay, sometimes in my car, when I get home, I sit there for half an hour. And I'm like, shit, I can't go in. Like, I need to make dinner. And, you know, it's just things like that. And so it can get a little bit tough for my brain to cope with. So I have to kind of take a step back. And I don't want to get too, you know, not ahead of myself, but I don't want to get too booked up and not know where I'm at.
Yeah.
Because I have to feel where I'm at.
Definitely.
Or I lose...
And I think that's the beauty of being self-employed and being your own boss.
Yeah.
You make it work for you. I mean, I could easily... I get people messaging me all the time for social media stuff, and I think...
Because you're the social media queen!
I am the social media queen. But I'm very particular now about what I take on, because I think I don't want to get to the end of the day and be like, oh, I've got all this work.
You've got to do that. I know, darling. It's very overwhelming.
I am a single mum. I do the podcast. I do my job. And I, at the end of the day, I don't want to be stressed about... a post for a client that I'm not enjoying doing.
Yeah,
that makes
exactly
sense.
Of course,
but I used to take on any work that come my way, and now I'm like very particular.
I'm quite picky as well with, like, you know, some things that, you know, and I think you have to be, because if you accept and take on everything,
it's too much.
It's like a mountain. Mountain, and then in the end I end up crumbling a little bit.
No,
I'm being honest, I do. I get a bit overwhelmed. I don't really know. Can't really navigate myself. I have to just know where I'm at, you know, or it can just get a bit too confusing in my mind.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I can't do anything.
Yeah. And so, also juggling, like, the work and home life balance.
Okay. Do you know what? Friends, family, work, home life, dog, like, just everything.
It's a lot, isn't it? You can't fit anything
babes,
else in.
It's
you
so
have a boyfriend.
I haven't got time. I haven't got time, by the way.
Just to let you know.
Just to let you know if you're watching.
She's single.
No, but I just feel like I just need to take some time sometimes, and like, what I like to do is I like to go and sit on the beach with my dog.
Yeah.
And just sit there.
Yeah.
Just sit there. Just think and just relax and just take a minute. And have that gratitude and to feel that I am actually grateful for everything I've got. You know, I've got my health, I've got a beautiful daughter, lovely friends, I've got a business, I've got a lovely home. And in actual fact, 10 years ago, I would die to have what I've got now.
Exactly.
But then sometimes you still want, well, obviously you want more because you want to improve and you want to improve your life. And
I think when you're in a low point and you start, you know how you just said, you end up spiraling and you think this, yeah, and like, why is this happening to me, and blah blah blah. But as you said, the gratitude is so important to make you realize, okay, what you've overcome, and where, yeah, you are now.
Is that's so true. Yeah. And when you reflect on it all and you think, God, like, actually,
yeah,
it's really amazing.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like, it's amazing.
You've created all of this.
I've created it.
Yeah.
I have created it. And it's like, yes, okay, my goal is to have my own clinic and to have, like, I won't say too much because I've manifested something. It's a clinic, but it's also something else as well within it. And I'm manifesting it all and sort of pre-planning it all. And I know that probably won't come for a good few years, but I still manifest all these things because it's like I've got a lot of ambition and I've got a lot of drive in me and I want to succeed for my daughter to be like, right, that's my mum and I'm proud of you, you know, because I haven't actually had a lot of support like when I was younger, as in like financial.
Yeah.
You know, my mum didn't have a lot growing up and, you know, her and my dad went through tough times together and things happened. But unfortunately, I don't hold that against them.
No.
It's fine. It happened. And I just know that my mum's given me strength.
Yeah. I've grown up with similar with you. But I actually think that makes us, because when you've not had a lot, it makes you appreciate.
Oh, darling. It makes you. Yeah, it really does. Yeah. You know, and I've not had somebody to say, there you go, there's a few thousand pounds to start your business, there's this, literally nothing, not a penny.
Yeah,
but I've just latched on to the fact that, like, I know I can do it.
Yeah.
And when you know you can do it, you do it.
Yeah.
And that's all you've got to have, is just that confidence. Yeah. And you will succeed. Like, look what you've got.
Yeah,
this is amazing. No, by the way, honestly, it is.
Do you know, it's mad, because I've thought about this since 2020 in lockdown.
Yeah.
And it's sort of been in like fruitation for a while. I was like, oh, I really want to do that. It's just like having the confidence, like, will people listen, like, you know. And then honestly, like, as you know, as we were talking about it and here, like, the episode I done last week, I was honestly like, wow, like, as if, like, a year ago when me and Drew first set this up, that this is what it's come to.
Exactly.
It's incredible.
It's incredible, babe.
Yeah.
And it's so organic.
Yeah.
It's just organic, and it's you, and it's what you've built, and, you know, it's just amazing. And I feel like I've got really positive things that's going to happen for you. I feel like you're going to do amazing.
Well, thanks.
Hey, you're welcome.
Thank you. Right, babe. Well, thank you. Oh, let everyone know where they can find you for lips.
Yes. So, Lippy.
And other stuff.
Lippy Aesthetics on Instagram. Maybe we'll put it up as a little...
I'll
let Kay do that, the social media queen. But yes, I'm on Instagram, so feel free to browse through all of my treatments. If anybody wants to come for consultation for any treatment, then feel free to give me a message.
Amazing.
And we'll book you in for your Botox.
Yes, I need to do that. I'm going to do it in a second. Thank you all so much for listening. Make sure that you're following us on Instagram, TikTok and YouTube. We are Mamahood, the podcast.
Mamahood, baby.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
And leave us a review on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube. And I'll see you same time next week. Love you. Bye.
Bye.